Welcome to Take It From The Iron Woman. My name is Susanne Müller, your host and the Iron Woman. This podcast is about empowering yourself and others to make real changes in the world. You will hear from everyday, smart, sophisticated, hip people like you and me. Not everybody has to be an Iron Woman to impress the world. Together, we will learn from the sports and business leaders how you can become a more successful person as an entrepreneur or a leader. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Take your steps now. Take your big steps now. Join me on this journey to success. This podcast is being sponsored by Get Loopy. On episode 41, you can hear the story of Isabel, the co-founder and CEO. Get Loopy, get a 20% discount off your first order. GetLoopy.com. Welcome, Take It From The Iron Woman. Again, we have only special guests on the show. Today, we have Daphna from Israel with us. She's a fellow podcaster of mine. Listen to her story.
The reason I even joined TPF was that I had loved radio. I had studied a radio course during my undergraduate in communications and poli-sci. And I loved the voice medium. And little did I know that the Podcasters Fellowship was actually full of people that knew what their podcast was going to be about. And I was like, I'm here for the learning the skills. I've been interviewing people for years in public relations capacities. Yeah. But with regard to a podcast, on the first day, it was like, okay, so what's your podcast about? And I'm like, I don't have one. How can I possibly know what it's about? So I invented one on the spot, but I never got around to creating it. And then the podcast that I have created is just over the last 2 months because of Corona.
Oh, really? So tell me a little bit more. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. So you started out in radio, then you came into the podcast to learn how we can do it. I mean, it's a lot of technology that I think we, at least I can only speak for myself.
It is. The radio thing was something that I loved years ago, 20 years ago, during my undergraduate studies in communications. Mm-hmm. But what I created now during Corona time was, I thought, wait a minute, suddenly lots of people are being thrown into working remotely when they're not used to that. Mm-hmm. I know all sorts of amazing people, not the least of which I've recently met through Seth Godin's amazing Akimbo kingdom of people who have done his workshops. I thought I could interview people who do all different professional work that have some aspect of working remotely. So I called it Even Remotely Effective. There are 9 episodes shipped already.
Well, congratulations. Within 5 weeks? Wait, 5 weeks? That's fantastic. But I also think I have a Facebook Live every Wednesday at 1 o'clock p.m. on the Eastern time. Now I shipped more episodes on Wednesday. I feel like people need it. I've been working from home for the past 15 years and I know how it is to work from home. I think a lot of people are a little lost, like, how do I structure my day? How can I get through? And also I think it's the isolation that is new, because what I realized, I used to work in an office and I hated when people came like, can I have 5 minutes? And it's like half an hour later. But then when you work from home, this is exactly what you miss. So I'm wondering, what have you seen over the course of like you working from home and then what you have seen with the people that you have interviewed so far?
Different people had different insights about this. Some people talked about the need for the social contact, which they get either from their family members. But obviously right now in Corona time, it's very much an extreme. I mean, I'm sure you know for yourself, as somebody who works from home, you can go out and run, you can go out and meet people for coffee, you go out to client sites. I, for the past 6 years, in my current capacity as a public speaking coach and as somebody who helps professionals, predominantly academic researchers and entrepreneurs in the whole startup ecosystem, I help them prepare for high stakes presentation opportunities. When entrepreneurs are going to be meeting with investors, when academic researchers are going to be presenting at a conference in which there's an audience that are not necessarily from their own discipline. So it's all about making professional content from one discipline accessible to a different discipline. So in the best of times and in usual times, I don't have an office that I go to work from. When I'm doing my back office work, I'm home. But almost every single day, I'm out and about meeting people, beyond whatever other errands I have to run. But my work itself, which is the thing that I'm actually missing most right now, is the interaction with the other people.
And do you think you can recreate that via Zoom or Skype? Because I've been working for the past 10 years with people online. So I always say I've traveled to 54 countries, but I have worked with people from 64 different countries and cultures. I do all my work virtually. I don't know if it's a generational situation, because I feel like the younger generation, they hop on a Zoom, Skype call, or even a telephone, they're fine with that coaching, versus when I hear older generation, they want to see me, they want to physically see me. And I'm like, well, but if you look at my day, I typically can have 5 coachings at least around the globe. So 2 in Asia, 2 in Europe, and then 2 in the US in any given day. But if I have 1 client in New York, it takes me 1 hour to get there. I do 1 hour coaching, and then it takes me an hour to go home, except I usually go shopping. So I spend my money already. So this is not a very productive day. What have you seen over the time of your career?
Well, so maybe that's the only positive side to the current corona crisis, is all the time that's being saved, just like you just described, from all the time that we're not commuting, and all of maybe all of the temptation to shop when we don't actually need it because we just don't have those opportunities. Yes, there's definitely, there's more time in the day right now in that regard, but I don't think that I would trade it permanently in return for that human contact that I'm really craving getting back to. I don't know what's going to change permanently. You asked, is it as effective? I think that it really, really depends. It could be, as you say, that coaching people one-on-one, and maybe it is a generational thing, when the person at the other side on the other screen is very engaged and very motivated, just like this conversation that you and I are having now, it is the next best thing. Of course, I would prefer meeting you in a coffee shop as well. And I hope that one day soon we'll get to do that if you come visit in Israel, or the next time I get to the States, I'd love to. So for us right now, since we're both engaged and motivated, it's the next best thing. Mm-hmm. Recently, I've been teaching a lot of group workshops for students. And in Israel, the policy has been that this current spring semester has gone entirely online. So the students didn't choose this, right? They wanted to be on campus. They wanted their social interaction. They're in their pajamas at home. And even though the curriculum is, you know, they signed up for a course that starts at 8 or 9 or 10 a.m., now when they're in a group course situation and I'm delivering a workshop, their cameras are off, their microphones are mute, and I feel like I'm talking to myself. And everything that was supposed to be very interactive, questions, engagement, very often I get this blank silence and I just can't tell. Are any of them even listening to me? Are half of them back asleep? Are they doing something else? So I think that there's a very, very complete dichotomy between people who choose to consult with people one-on-one, and then they're very motivated and they need it. So they have this intrinsic motivation to receive the support, and maybe even if they're paying out of pocket, that's something else that I've noticed over the years, which is a totally different issue than the in-person versus remote. I've noticed that in workshops or one-on-one consultations, when the person participating was the one who initiated because they understand that they need the help that they can receive from me as a professional, their level of engagement and of commitment to the process is something completely different and so much more than anybody who received the consultation package or the workshop from their organization, from their university, from their employer. And they kind of take for granted it's not coming out of their pocket, and they don't necessarily appreciate it, even if they really need that skill set, which I think is the case of these students. I believe that a few years from now, when they finish, this happens to be a bunch of engineering students, all different fields of engineering, and their college recognized that as engineers, they will need to be able to communicate messages effectively, whether startups or they work in big multinational global corporate companies. They're going to need to be able to express what is it that we're developing? Why do we think that this alternative is preferable to that alternative? So the college, recognizing their need for the ability to communicate succinctly, effectively, with clarity to audiences of a different background, hired me to do this round of workshops. And I was so grateful that they didn't cancel as soon as Corona broke out. I was supposed to come physically to the campus. So I was very, very grateful when they moved it online. Is it as good as it would be if I was in the class with them? in this particular case, absolutely not. However, I'm very grateful that they didn't cancel it. And I do believe that those students that do know how to appreciate the value of what they're being offered and engage and listen and apply and practice, because we have one session in which I teach them some skills and then a second session in which they each present their project and I give them some feedback and some helpful tips on how they might want to sharpen some aspect of their message or how they're delivering it. So I believe that those students that are actually very engaged are definitely going to benefit, even though the interaction is online entirely.
Well, first of all, I agree with you. Like the interaction, the personal interaction, you get the energy, you get the body language. But on the other hand, you never know if those engineers have to deliver a message online, and it's even harder for them. So I would actually add that element into them, like, hey, guys and ladies, you have to now really pay attention, because we don't know if this is the new normal and everybody has to be a great communicator, even online. And as you just said, if you give a talk and you only see yourself, and I did a 45-minute conference and I was looking at myself and I was like, oh my God, nobody is asking questions. I sound like an idiot and So it was amazing. But I think this is the new normal and we have to get used to it. And I always say, this is for the engineers. You have to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
You
have to look at yourself. You see all the lines and the hair that doesn't look good. For the ladies, I always say, put on the lipstick, then at least you feel good, you look good. This is maybe one advantage we have as women. It is now the new normal and we have to adapt to this.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Always nice to hear from people who are educators as well. And in the new COVID-19, what obstacles do we have? Certainly great lessons to learn. Again, Monday, Wednesday, we have podcasts. Don't miss out. Take it from the Iron Woman and get your loopy. GetLoopy.com is sponsoring my podcast. Get 20% off your first order. GetLoopy.com. Thank you for listening.